A little jump when we get up here. I just want to show you guys that I got a little spring up in my bones. You know what I mean? Well, this has been a big year for me because this year a lot of things were accomplished. But two major things was I played my first professional football game in my hometown, and this year I'm speaking in my hometown church for the first time. So I'm getting all mushy here, but you know, it is a big deal. But other things that have been made in my life have happened through football. I would say that most of what I've learned has come through not just in the playing the game, but things that surround the game. And as I thought about what can I say to these people that, you know, I'm a simple football player. I mean, you know, we have snap counts up to three because nobody can count beyond three, you know. And what do I tell these people? You know, we have some good Bible scholars there. And I was talking to John Kolb, who's a wonderful Christian man from the Steelers. He's a left tackle there. And John said, Craig, whenever you speak, he says, just remember one thing. Did you ever hear that rock group Kiss? I said, John, I don't understand the connection. Well, John's a good old boy from Oklahoma. And he's, you know, I thought, well, he's been in the league 12 years. Maybe, you know, all that hitting's kind of shook up something in his head. But John said to me, Craig, just remember the name Kiss. This stands for keep it simple, stupid. So I'm going to keep it simple, okay? We lost the stupid. But at the age of 9, I was saved just as a young boy with a Sunday school paper. And I encourage the people in church here to keep buying them because you never know where the effect will come, you know, how or why in the life of a person. But I know at the age of 9, I was saved. And it's been a growing process, you know, since then, continually, learning things and going on. And in my, you know, continual growth, I've learned a great many things. As I was saying earlier about football, and the message I wanted to bring this morning was I thought I would bring a little bit of my life in with God's life, and that they're intertwined. And it's amazing to think, you say, well, how can football and God be intertwined? But as we go down here, you just might learn a little bit something about it. You know, in football, we have what we call a playbook. Okay? This encompasses everything about the team. It's a book about that thick, and they give you about 3 weeks to learn it. And what you got to do then is you got to carry that thing with you. Because if you lose it, it's $300, and usually a ticket out of camp. See? So, in football, this playbook is the most important thing you can have. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, God has his playbook too, and that's just right here in the Bible. Now with this, there's no $300 penalty for losing it. The penalty is much more severe. Losing God's salvation and not taking advantage of it is eternal damnation. Now, that certainly can't be compared in the $300 loss of the playbook when you consider your eternal soul and where it's going to be. So, in preparing for a game now, there's a typical week. We're coming a week in, you got to do things, okay? First of all, you got to study your opponent. Now, you got to recognize, first of all, who your opponent is, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses, what is his speed, his favorite things that he likes to do, what are his tendencies. You have to completely know this man inside and out so that you can refer back to this during the game, so that you can be mentally one step ahead of this guy. Now, in the same way, you have, in the Christian living, you have to know your opponent. It's better not to simply just walk into something like that. You have to know them. You have to research that. Well, if you look, again, chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God here is telling you what you're up against, okay? In other verses, he's been described as a roaring lion in 1 Peter. That is his strength. You look at his strength, first of all. When I'm playing Fred Snow from Buffalo, first thing I check is his strength. second thing you need to check is his quickness. How quick is he? What can he do? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, they refer to him as a serpent. Now, you know the striking speed of a serpent. He's very, very quick. And third thing of all is you've got to know his tendencies. What are his tendencies? What does he like to do? Fred likes to go to his right a lot on third down situations, looking back, okay? What does Satan like to do? Well, Satan, in 2 Corinthians, is described as an angel of light. He does not show himself truthfully. He's the master of rationalization. Now, we say, what does it apply to you? Well, it's simply saying, you know, you've got to be careful. He's also been described as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And with that, you have to realize that he isn't always going to appear to you as a roaring lion or trying to force you in anything or the altar, you know, temptation. Where it's, you know, you decide this or this. It's more subtle things. It's much to be compared with the man who is drunk is more like a roaring lion versus the man who takes a drink, which is sort of like rationalizing. Okay? Well, the next thing that's coming up is the pregame meal. Okay? Now we're into the pregame cycle and we're getting ready to play the game. So the pregame meal is the most important meal of the week because you have to do two things. It has to provide you with instant energy for the game. And secondly, it can't be too heavy so that it slows you down during the game. This is always tough for me because I'm a big eater and breakfast, you know. You kind of like want to sit there and scarf up a lot of food, but you know you can't. Because you'll pay for it later in about the third or fourth quarter. But God tells us in His Word that we are to esteem His Word more important to us than the daily bread. And in Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee." So we have to feed off the word. That's our pregame meal and our Christian living. It's important. It's part of your daily growth. Now we go into the actual suiting up. Now we're preparing for combat. Most people say, you know, they like to watch running backs, dancing backs, and stuff like that. Well, you know, again, it's kind of like keeping it simple. But if you watch on the offensive line, it is actual warfare. It's hand-to-hand combat. Now we're preparing for that. Well, the way to do it, the first thing you got to do is you start suiting up, okay? And you start with your pants, with the hip
pads, you got thigh pads, you got knee pads, okay? That covers all the vital muscles of the lower body.
Well, the riff in Ephesians again, chapter 6, verse 14, says, "Sin, therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, we're having our loins girded about with truth, and we're being prepared for action. And the truth is Christ, and what He says. So we're honoring ourselves now about the hips, about the thighs and knees. And you know, that stems back to two, when you think about it, the pregame meal. The truth is Christ, and you get that truth from constantly studying and working at it. It doesn't come easy. One thing I've learned, especially through football, it doesn't come easy. For most of my life, I was too slow, I was too small, I was too stupid, I don't know, I was too ugly. You know, I mean, they're everything. They would tell you everything. But I never wavered from the goal that I had set for myself as a young man. And also, truly, in our lives, in our Christian walk, we have to dedicate our lives to that end too. You can't waver from it. Okay, the next step is you put on the cleats, on the shoes. Well, you've got some choices here because, first of all, you got to get taped. All right, what they do is they take and they shave your legs. Yes, ladies, they shave the legs. All right, and you get taped, okay, from here down around the ankle. Now, it's terrible when you go to the beach. Okay, because you're walking about with hair down to here, and everybody kind of looks at you like you're a little bit off, okay? But that's important because it's protection. You have to tape the joints, especially if you're injured. The next step is you have to choose the proper shoe for the turf that you're playing on. You're playing all kinds of surfaces. You play on artificial turf and on grass, okay? Now, if it's muddy, you've got to make a choice of another shoe. Or if the turf is real baked and hard, like it is in San Diego, then you want to go with a shorter cleat. Or if you're on artificial turf, you might want to go with a high-flap shoe to protect your ankles. So there's a lot of different things that you can choose in between. But the one common denominator of that, you want to make sure that your shoes are well worn, because blisters are very painful. And it's amazing how a little thing like that can, you know, fit many a pro down. Well, I remember last year in training camp when we had three guys out with blisters. Well, in the same way, in verse 15 of chapter 6, it says, "In the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we are taped with the gospel of peace." And not only that, as much as we have to choose the proper shoe, we also have to choose the proper path for our feet. And in Romans 10:15, it says, "Our feet can be beautiful, preaching the gospel of peace." Or in Romans 3:15, it says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." So there's a choice of two paths. Two paths. I mean, what is it going to be? And then the last thing is, it must be well worn in the Word of God. It has to, you know, football in the training camp, it has to be in you instinctively. You can't sit there and think, well, on this play, 36 prep, I got to go around, and if he's not there, I got to cut around, pick up the linebacker. If the linebacker's there, I got to pick up the corner. If the corner's out, pick up the safety. It has to go just like that, okay? Just like that. You can't think about it at all. In the same way, the Bible has to be ingrained in us, in the Word of God, so that it becomes instinctive, that immediately when Satan comes around, you've got things to throw back at him. Next thing we're doing is suiting up now. Now we've got the pants, we're taped up, we've got the shoes, we've selected, we've put them on. Now we're in our shoulder pads. Okay, now shoulder pads run from here, down around here, and all over the place. You know, some guys are so padded up, they look like a mummy, you know. So, anyhow, again, we're referring back to verse 14 of chapter 6. In the last part it says, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, righteousness means right living before God, okay? And right living before God protects us from the enemy. Now, the shoulder pads that I wear, okay, have a neck roll about it because I have a problem with a pinched nerve. You get that. When you start running into 300 pounders for 10 years, it kind of wears on you a little bit. And if I sound a little bit jerky here, hey, if you've been hitting me as many times over the last 12 years, you know, I make no bones about it, you know, it's part of life. But anyhow, right living before God protects us, okay, from the enemy. And the enemy, preparing ourselves from the enemy involves three things: reading the Word, praying, and fellowshipping with others. And it's really wonderful to be able to fellowship with fellow Christians. I found that out in my life because when I was in Syracuse, we didn't have much, and I couldn't get to church because I was in a college, and I was too far away, didn't have a car, this and that. But anyhow, the fellowship among the believers is still very important. So very important. The last thing now, as we're preparing for game time, our most important piece of equipment comes on now, our helmet. The helmet is the most important piece of equipment for a football player. It has to fit just right. It can't be too tight. And it has to be well protected on all sides. Well, the helmet is a very personal piece of equipment because basically no two guys can be fit exactly the same. It's important that each one have his own fit in the helmet. A little example, that would be my sophomore year at Syracuse. I had a helmet on and I forgot to get it fit properly before a practice. It was a scrimmage. And I went out there and not even 2 minutes into the scrimmage, I received a concussion because I hadn't taken the time to make sure the helmet fit. And I'd been hit right between the eyes, point blank, by somebody trying to jump over me and caught a knee. And, you know, flat out like a cold turkey. And, you know, they just carted me off. But, you know, it's a scary thing, you know. And I can remember distinctly coming out of a concussion because it's like coming out of sleep because everything is real blurred and you can't make sense out of anything. And then all of a sudden everything starts coming back into focus. And it's a strange experience. But the important lesson of that is Everything must be personal. It has to fit just right. Your helmet has to fit just right. In the same way, your salvation has to be personal. It has to fit. You aren't saved because your parents are saved or because your parents come to church. You have to make it a personal thing. It's important that each and every one of us do that. Now comes my second favorite time of the game. That's halftime. Okay? Halftime is the only thing that makes sense in pro football today. Okay? It really does. I'll tell you, and the player's resource is at halftime, though. It's important because in the first half, the coaches are just scouting each other, trying to find out what each, you know, each other is really going to do. So all the best hands have been played in the first half. They each know what the other one's going to do. So now, they give you a thing each week, a scouting report, and you have to learn that. And many times they throw that out now because, you know, it makes no sense. In the second half, you go back to something else. So it's a hurried time, but it's a time that's very important because now the real strategy of the game comes down. Well, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, God isn't talking about the New Orleans Saints, okay? The Saints were so bad last year, it was unbelievable. He ain't talking about them. But what he's talking about, okay, he's talking about this is our, in our Christian life, this is our resource through prayer and supplication all the time. And when you keep that in mind and all the other things that I talked about, the armor of God, then we have something to work with and something to stand on. Because remember, when you scout the opponent in football, you're wrestling against flesh and blood. But in Christian living, it's not flesh and blood at all. And you have to rely on somebody much stronger than yourself. So, thank you. I guess I'm going to warm up for Mr. Camus. Let's prove in here. Thank you.